Thank you, Rob. Great to see everybody this morning. I am not John Paul Suchecki. I am David Stevens. This is the summer cut, so I probably look a little different than I did the last time you saw me. But so glad to see Sisters Molly and Peggy in the back. Glad to see Alex and Cheryl doing well. Like I said, all he did was lose his sense of smell. That's the only thing I didn't lose. I think you got it. I got the better end of the deal, Alex, with the COVID. So good to see everybody. This morning, I would like us to examine absolute truth from a Christian perspective. There are three parts to this lesson this morning. Does absolute truth exist? If so, what or who is the source? And then finally, what does that tell us about how we should live on this earth? Please know that while my intent is to stimulate thought and action and prayer, I have no intent to offend anyone or step on anyone's toes. I preach into myself first, and then you guys are the second audience. So my desire is to please God by preaching His truth. So if you would, please join me in prayer. Father, you are the author of truth. We know that you cannot lie, and that your Son is the truth. You've put your Spirit of truth in each of us to guide us to all truth, and we know that your Word is truth. We pray this morning that you will open our hearts to your truth, Father, and change us to be who you want us to be and to live the way you want us to live. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So part one is absolute truth, fact or myth? This is the first question before us today. One viewpoint comes from Paul Feyerabend. He was a professor at Cal Berkeley, a philosopher of science. He died in the mid-90s and actually was born in Vienna. But he said, the only absolute truth is that there are no absolute truths. So, when we kind of break down this question, there are two primary options or philosophies, all right? The first is relativism, and this puts forth that all facts depend on the individual's perspective and life experience. On the other hand, absolutism, also called universality, declares that universal facts exist and that we human beings can discover those facts. So let me give you an example of each. This would be an example of relativism. What is right just depends on your individual perspective, right? Is it rabbit season or duck season, okay? However, if one asserts that there is no absolute truth, and you actually agree with Professor Feyerabend, then the one absolute truth is that there are no absolute truths. So you've created a contradiction with this assertion, and you've nullified the rule, because you're saying, well, there's no absolute truth except that there's no absolute truth. Anyway. So, what is absolute truth? Whatis.com gives this definition. In general, absolute truth is whatever is always valid, regardless of parameters or context. The absolute in the term connotes one or more of a quality of truth that cannot be exceeded. It is the absolute, complete truth, and or unvarying and permanent truth. So there's a definition of absolute truth, but what is not absolute truth? Well, it's not what I feel. It's not what government says is true or what a law says is right or wrong. It's not what the media or news source, any news source, puts forth as fact. Absolute truth is not what a politician or a political party says is true. And this is not an exhaustive list of what absolute truth is not. But it is certainly not an ideology. And here's why I say that. Ideology is a man-made system of ideas and ideals, especially one which forms the basis of economic or political theory and policy. So let's look at three quick popular examples in our culture today. One ideology, free market capitalism. This is simply an economic system created and explained by human beings, and it does not even address whether God exists. Second, indirect liberal democracy. This is a type of representative democracy created by and explained by people. While a key component is the production of individual liberty, this ideology is neither for or against God. Finally, you can use any of these names, Marxism, Leninism, Communism. You found this in the Soviet Union, in Communist China today. But it was first explained by Marx and Engels in the Communist Manifesto. This is another man-made ideology. Unlike the first two examples, this ideology is fundamentally against God and promotes atheism. Now, here's the problem. All ideologies are created by human beings and defined by human beings. That is in stark contrast to absolute truth. It is not of human origin, and it does not rely or depend upon human reason, thought, opinion, or emotion. Therefore, absolute truth cannot be an ideology since it is not the creation of mankind. So, where does absolute truth fit into Christianity? Who or what is the source of absolute truth? Focus of the Family, in an online article concerning absolute truth, wrote, "In our world, the idea of ultimate truth, something that is true at all times, in all places, and has relevance for our lives, is about as extinct as the dinosaur. In fact, nearly 3 out of 4 Americans say there is no such thing as ultimate or absolute truth. And the numbers do not look much better among those who claim to follow Jesus. Is it any wonder why so many of our young people are leaving the church if they have been convinced that relativism is true? That there is no absolute truth." So what do we see in our culture today? It reminds me of the itching ears and what they want to hear, right? People would rather listen to a comforting lie than an uncomfortable truth. Why? Absolute truth requires something of us. It requires of us to choose, and it requires action. However, unlike human ideologies, our faith, Christianity, requires fundamental beliefs. God is who He says He is. He is the Creator and the Father of all. Jesus is who He says He is. He is the Son of God and the Lord and Savior of every Christian who bears His name. These fundamental and core beliefs mean that God and Jesus have authority over us. And as we celebrate Independence Day and freedom, you know, I'm not wanting to mix up, you know, who we are as U.S. citizens, but, you know, my citizenship is in heaven. I am a Christian first and foremost. You know, I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution for 26 years, and I did that to the best of my ability. But that pales in comparison to whose name I bear, that of Christ. So, as Christians, it does not matter what the world says or does, because the world does not define or determine what is truth. As Christians, we believe that God is the source of absolute truth. This is an essential belief for every Christian. For without it, how can we agree on anything? Right? Either God gets to say what is true, or we all say what is true, and there's nothing that binds us. So, let's look at what the Bible says. The Bible matter-of-factly states multiple times that God cannot lie. Therefore, anything that comes out of God's mouth is the truth. That's in stark contrast to Satan or the devil. The Bible tells us that he is the father of lies. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. All we have to do is go back to the Garden of Eden to see this truth revealed about Satan. However, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus is the truth. And as our brother Rob read, if we hold to Jesus' teachings, we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Free from what? Free from the power of sin, which is death. Free from the lies of the devil propagated throughout human cultures and ideas. God's Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will send you the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. And finally, God's Word. Jesus said, sanctify them by the truth. Your Word is truth. God makes us holy and set apart for His purposes through His Word. So, what about Scripture itself? I want to start with the 2 Peter Scripture. Chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Timothy makes it even clearer. He said, all Scripture is God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16. Okay. So what? God, Jesus, God's Holy Spirit, God's Word are all truth. What does this mean for you and me as Christians? It means that God defines what is right and what is wrong. It means that God determines what is sin and what is righteous, not we as human beings. There is absolute truth. That means there is an absolute standard. God, who is holy and just, is the one who will hold us accountable for our thoughts and our words and our actions. He created us. He gets to tell us how to live. He also gave us the freedom of choice to not to choose to follow Him with the consequences that come from that. So what about Jesus? Let's see, He gave His life for our sins. He gets to tell us how to live. He clearly said multiple times in the Gospel of John to the effect that if we love Him, we will choose to obey His commands, which are God's commands. So what are the big ones? He said, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, with all your being. So number two, love your neighbor as yourself. And then He added a twist with the new command. Number three, love one another as I, Jesus, have loved you. What kind of love is that? It's sacrificial love that requires action. Boy. So you may be thinking, David, I know God's commands. What's the point? Well, I know God's commands too. And in my life, knowing and doing are very, very different and take very different levels of commitment. It's not just a cognitive exercise. God is the one who gets to tell us what is absolute truth and how we are to live. So how am I going to respond to what God says? How are you going to respond to what God says? As we conclude, I want to introduce you to something. You may have seen this or may not. This is called Pascal's Wager. Blaise Pascal was a 17th century mathematician and physicist and theologian. And he concluded and argued that every rational person should live as though God exists and seek to believe in God. And he set up these options to show why. On the left, you have two human options. Believe in God or do not believe in God. That's the choice we have. At the top, you have two other possible options. God does not exist or God exists. That's it, very binary choices, which results in four quadrants. So, if you look at the first one, if you believe in God, but He does not exist, you don't have any eternal consequences, right? You haven't lost anything. You've treated people in a loving way. You've lived a life of faith. If you have the second option, this is the best by far of all options, because our faith is true and will have an eternal positive consequences. The third option, if you choose not to believe in God and he doesn't exist, there's no eternal consequences, so you're okay there. But the one option where we are in trouble as a human being is the fourth option. Now, this is the only option with eternal negative consequences. And he uses this to support his option, his argument, that if you choose to not believe in God and he does exist, you know what's happening for eternity. This is the only option with terrible consequences in both this life and eternity. So here's the conclusion. Number one, God exists. Whether I choose to believe that or not does not change the truth. Number two, God is the author of absolute truth. Number three, every human being, myself included, has to make a choice. And remember, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. Number four, I put belief/faith, it's the same Greek word. It requires action. It is not just mentally saying, oh, God exists. You know what? The demons knew God exists and trembled. But it didn't cause them to follow him. They continue to follow Satan. True faith results in action and works. Finally, number five, our choice has consequences, both good and bad. Both directions. And you say, well, how does our choice have bad directions if we choose to follow God? Because Jesus said this world's going to hate you just like it hates him. He said, in this life you will have trouble. That does not overshadow all the positives of faith and following God. But there are good and bad consequences both ways. So the question is, what will I choose? Who or what will you choose? Either way, God is still truth. God is still the creator. Jesus will still come again and judge everyone. Remember, absolute truth does not depend on human opinion, thought, reason, emotion, feeling, judgment. Truth is truth, and God is truth. If you have any spiritual need this morning, or if you've not been clothed with Christ in baptism, I ask you to come forward as we stand and sing this song.